Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today, I want to get into a question that I got from one of our mastermind members. In fact, I had a chance to talk to him on the phone. I think it's a common problem. It's something that that a lot of people will go through or are currently going through anytime they start their own business, in particular a service-based business. And I want to kind of give or shed a little bit of a light on the challenges that the people go through and how to really deal with some of that. Now, if you're thinking about starting your own practice, or if you've already started your own practice, I highly recommend you head over to finsurancebook.com. Go pick up a copy of my book. I give you pretty much everything I've learned over the last 5 years in terms of running a cash practice, and it's free. All I got to do is pay for shipping and handling, and I send it to you. So if you haven't got a copy of it yet, go and get that. If you have and you've been hitting me up on Instagram, let me know you're reading it. That's awesome. I really appreciate it. It still blows me away that, you know, we've had a few thousand people get a book, in particular a book called Fuck Insurance, and actually read it, which is pretty amazing to me. So I appreciate everybody that has done that, and hopefully the book has been helpful and you've gotten a lot out of it. So back to the question. So the question that we got, to summarize, is basically, hey, I feel like everything that I'm doing is not working, and that I'm scrambling to try to get new patients into my practice, and then I've flatlined a little bit in terms of volume and revenue, and things just don't seem like they're working the way that I want them to work. And for many of us, and if you've never started a business, this is going to be sort of hard to relate to, I think, because, well, I don't know. Maybe imagine, like, if you go to a new school. I've been to a lot of new schools, so this is probably the closest representation that I can think of that I've gone through, besides starting a business. But, you know, for me, when I would go to a new school, it was always the first few days always sucked. You know, sometimes it was longer than that. Usually the first few months tended to suck, depending on the location or where we would move to. And a lot of it's because you just didn't know anybody. You know, you didn't know anybody. Nobody knew you. Nobody knew anything about you, what, you know, you're interested in or what your personality was like or why they might even want to be associated with you, right? And in a lot of ways, you have to prove that to people. And one of the ways that my brother and I in particular found out that we could do that was by playing sports. So we would try really hard in any sport that we were they were in, and it depended on the season. You know, so if we knew, okay, we're moving, let's say in January,
we got to go ahead and start practicing and getting better at baseball. Because we knew as soon as we got there, you know, baseball was going to start fairly soon. And that was our opportunity to get on a team and get looped into a group of people where we can start developing friends much, much easier, right? If we moved over the summer, we would start getting ready for football season. We knew when we got there, we'd start getting involved in team workouts, we'd meet people over the summer, and then we'd get looped into a support system, which is the best way to go in a new place. Now, for this person in particular, the part of the frustration, I think part of the challenge, is the fact that he moved from an area where he's from originally, after graduating from PT school, to an area that he is not from where he wanted to live. So it was a lifestyle, you know, move basically in terms of moving to a city where he wanted to actually live. So, which is great, you know, and that's, I was told one time by my mentor, Kelly Stradi, said, "Hey, there's no luck in where you live. You pick where you want to go. It's up to you, but you got to make it work whenever you get there." And for this person, you know, moving to a new location and then starting a service-based business, a cash practice, that's a difficult undertaking. I've gone through it. There's plenty of people in our mastermind that have gone through it. And I can tell you at this point now, having worked with the number of people that we have that have started practices or are grown practices, if you start a practice in an area where you're from, it helps tremendously. Now, that may not be the place where you want to be, and that's totally fine. All I'm saying is if you start a business, a service-based business in particular, in a place where you have a lot of connections, you have a lot of people that know who you are and know that you've started this business and that want to see you be successful, they will recommend you to people. And right, maybe those people are not all physicians that are going to refer you a ton of people or something like that, or you know, trainers that are going to send you a bunch of people, but it's still people that are talking about you, and it helps a lot with local trust and local relationship development. So when you move somewhere where you're not from, it makes it that much harder. And the challenge is, how do you get somebody to like you faster? That's really hard, you know, because trust is built slowly. Relationships are built slowly in most cases. And when you try to rush a relationship, it's really typically going to turn into you ruining that relationship, because the easiest way to get somebody to dislike you is to try to get them to like you faster. And the idea of patience with that, with local marketing, can be really, really challenging for people and frustrating for people. Because imagine this, you know, I know this person is a really good provider, really good PT, right? And if you knew, man, I'm really good at this thing where I can help people, but you weren't able to share that with as many people as you wanted to, it would be frustrating, you know, for you. What if you had like the world's greatest cookie, you know, and you wanted to share this cookie with everybody, but nobody knew who you were, or why they would want to eat your cookie, and you know, you're giving out free samples, and maybe that's the best way to do it with a cookie, but probably not physical therapy. And it's frustrating because you know what you do is good and that you can help people, but it's a huge hit to your confidence when, you know, people are just not, they're just unsure of you because you're not someone that they know or has been vetted by somebody else, you know, at that point. So the process can be really slow, and it's also a place where I see most people that are going to give up and not follow through with really committing to a successful practice. Most of those people will drop off in this phase right here, in this phase where, you know, they're 6 to 12 months in, they hit a point where they basically hit a little bit of a wall. They get frustrated, they start to lose confidence, they sort of get down on themselves. And I've been there. I've thought to myself, like, man, am I not as good clinically as I think I am? Like, I thought I was pretty good at this. Like, I seem to be getting good results for other people, but I just don't really seem to be getting as many people as I need to really grow this business and sustain this business as fast as I wanted it to happen. You know, like, we all want these things to happen as quickly as humanly possible. It's just, we want it to happen yesterday. And patience is tough. Patience is really tough, in particular when your livelihood is based off of, you know, you seeing patients, and you need to see more patients in order to grow your revenue and sustain, you know, your business, which in the early stages is really, you know, fragile. A few bad months can be really tough on confidence, but also on your cash flow. You know, so I would say for me in this position, whenever I was there, what I found was developing relationships slowly was the only way to actually do that. And I've tried to do it faster, and I've ruined relationships with people in the same capacity, being very cavalier about why they wouldn't want to send somebody my way, or if they didn't, you know, what might happen. And being able to really just show that you have a unique skill set, that you understand that target audience that you're working with, and being able to be okay with meeting with somebody, asking for nothing in return, you know, showing up, being involved in their community, and starting to actually build your reputation organically is huge. Now, in the meantime, there's a few things you can definitely do if you're in this stage where you're, you know, a little bit slow. And also a caveat to this, some of this is seasonal. Okay, so for some of you that are in a practice at this point, especially early on, you're going to be more susceptible to these slight changes in the season. And what we found over the last 5 years is this pattern in Atlanta, at least. It's not the same everywhere, but at least in Atlanta, it's January, February, March. We're usually very, very busy. April is a little bit slower because that's when spring break is. So there's usually about 2 weeks there where the spring break is kind of, you know, split up between the different counties. So we have people that are out of town. It's a little bit slower. May is usually really, really busy. June, July slows down a little bit because of summer travel. So we'll have a lull over the summer. August, everybody's back. School's starting back up. Everybody's got their routine back in. So August, September, October are really busy. And then November, it starts to slow down. And December is usually very slow because, you know, our staff is traveling. People are traveling that we're working with. It's the holidays, you know, so it's almost like a 60-70% month for us based on the number of people taking leave that we have, us not being there. But you know what? It's life, dude. We're going and enjoying time with our family, and so is everybody else. So understand that's going to happen. But if you don't know that's going to happen and you're just in it, and all of a sudden you see your revenue or your volume flatline or drop a little bit, you're like, oh crap, what the heck is going on? You know, and it's very easy to jump to conclusions and scramble to try to, you know, take every angle to get new business that you possibly can, and then put yourself in a very reactive place, which is not the place that other people want to be or are surrounded by, right? So like, nobody wants to be around people that are being very reactive and scrambling. You can tell if somebody has a lot of urgency in something that they're doing, and then it's a little bit, it's like trying to figure out why the heck are they so, you know, adamant about this happening right away. And it can be very off-putting, in particular when trying to develop these local relationships. So just understand that with some of that seasonality, it is what it is. You can't really change that until you start to develop better ongoing recurring revenue models within your practice. That's the best way to stabilize it. But when you're just getting started, you don't really have the volume to be able to develop these recurring models because you don't have enough people that you've seen to really stabilize your practice. You know, you really need somewhere in the range of probably around 100 people to where you really have a strong baseline of people that you can use on a recurring basis and help on a recurring basis to stabilize your practice. So the seasonal changes, be aware of that, but also don't forget to focus on what happens whenever you're done helping somebody resolve an issue that they're coming to see you for, because that's really what's going to stabilize your practice long term. And one other thing that I would want to, you know, kind of touch on here is this idea of the dip. So Seth Godin wrote a book called The Dip. It's really short. If you want to read it, you can. I'm going to kind of describe what you can learn from it. See, I'll save you $10 in about 2 hours. But The Dip is all about this idea of anything that you start that's challenging, there's this sort of interesting curve that develops. So imagine kind of like if you're looking at a curve on a chart, like there's a bit of a spike whenever you first start off, like sort of in that bottom left corner if you're looking at it. It's this little spike, right? It's the excitement spike. It spikes, you get all excited. Oh, I'm starting this business. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to help a ton of people. I'm going to make good money. It's going to be awesome. So boom, I'm excited. We're on the rise. Now, After a period of, a short period of time, when you realize like, oh my God, there's a lot of stuff to do. There's a lot of things that I need to work on. There's a lot of ways this could go right, and there's a lot of ways this can go wrong. And then the real work sets in, that spike dips back down, and you end up in this sort of valley or this trough in this chart. And what that is what he calls the dip. And the dip is this place where the discomfort sets in, the challenges set in, the reality of what you've gotten yourself into sets in. And I can tell you that starting a business is not for everyone. And this is the place where people figure out if that's actually what they want to do or if it's not what they want to do. And this is where most people that are going to give up and are going to go back to, you know, an employee position will do it. And, you know, it can be very helpful. It's very helpful for me to understand that everybody goes through the dip. And it's a shame when people give up in the middle of the dip. They give up during this period of discomfort, during this challenge phase, because what they miss out on is exponential increase once you get out of the dip. So basically this hockey stick change where you just rise and rise and you have this exponential change in a positive direction once you get out of the dip. And this can be said really for anything. I mean, it could be said for athletics, it could be said for school, anything challenging that you're trying to do or accomplish, this still happens. You get excited at the beginning, then the real work begins, and then there's this, you know, exponential positive change that happens on the back end. This happened with somebody recently that we worked with that rode across the Atlantic Ocean in a single man boat. He was out there for like 2 months by himself. You know, and he was super excited as he signed up for it. He's getting his boat, all this stuff. We have a few months to train with him. That's when the real work begins. You know, and he's training for it. The race starts. He completes the race. He went through, you know, a lot of discomfort and challenges during those 2 month period whenever he's rowing across the ocean. And on the back end, you know, he was able to accomplish something that very few people do, as well as raise awareness for a nonprofit that he was working with to really raise awareness and fundraise for a really good cause. You know, so exponential change on the back end. So if you're going through this in your own business, don't think that you're alone. Like, you're not. This happens to everybody. There's not a single person that I know that it was just an easy, you know, linear change. It's like, I start here, my revenue goes up every single month. I never have a challenge. I never have anything I have to deal with. And like, it's just super easy. I'm just cruising. Like, it's very, very rare. That's very rare. And if that is the case, those people probably spent years and years and years developing their reputation locally, developing their clinical skill set, developing, the base for a practice by working somewhere in the area as a clinician and having this really, really good local word of mouth presence for them in particular. And then they move on out on their own. Then they do their own thing. And even still, they're still going to go through periods of challenges and struggles that are going to test whether they made the right decision or not. So as you look at this, if this sounds familiar, if this sounds like something you're going through or something you've gone through, you know, and those of you that have gone through it like I have, it's easy for us to take a step back and see this for what it is. But when you're going through it, it's so hard to realize that the struggle is normal. The struggle is part of it. You know, and talking to this person, you know, and he said, man, I'm really frustrated. I've only had like 3 or 4 people show up at a workshop the last couple of times that I've done it. And I said, dude, of course, they don't know who you are. You know, like I was the same way. I mean, I've done workshops where I've had one person showing up at a workshop. That blows. That sucks. I know. But you know what? I thought to myself, all right, if this guy's coming to my workshop, and I think the only reason he came is because he felt bad for me. I mean, legitimately, I think that's why he stayed. But I said, you know what? I got one person. I'm going to make this the best hour, the best decision this guy's ever made was to hang with me for an hour. I'm going to figure out whatever it is that he's got going on. I'm going to help him solve that. In that hour, he's going to leave a ton of really good value for his time. And that's what I did. And I've had 2-3 people at workshops. I do the same thing. You know, I want to teach those workshops like there's 50 people there that I'm trying to really deliver good value to. And you know what happened After I did that, when I taught there again, there were 2-3 times as many people the next time. When I taught there again, same thing happened. More and more people came back because they started to know who I was. They started to realize that what I was talking about and what I was showing people was helpful, was unique, and was actually benefiting them, not necessarily me just asking for something in return. So when we're first getting started and we're putting ourselves out there, it can be so damn frustrating and so demoralizing when you show up to do a workshop and there's one fucking guy standing there that's only there because he doesn't want you to feel like a loser. That's exactly the situations that I'm talking about that you put yourself in. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to do that. But you have to realize you decided that this is the path that you wanted to take. And I'm telling you, if you see it through, it's going to be the best decision of your life. The best decision you've ever made. If you see it through, if you quit, it's going to be the biggest regret that you have. It's going to be the biggest regret that you ever have. And you cannot get that back. If you decide to go back and take a position that you don't want to work in because you gave up during a period of discomfort, that's tough. That's something you have to deal with for the rest of your life. Regret is forever. You know, that discomfort that I had teaching workshops early on when nobody was there, man, that lasted a couple hours. And I forgot about it until I brought it up right now, right? You know, like I don't remember that I had only a few people show up until I have this conversation with this guy and I remember those things, right? But it's sort of like childbirth. That's what my wife says this. I haven't had babies. My wife's had 2 with no pain meds. She's a badass. And she doesn't really remember them that well, you know? And I think that that's why we had a second, is because if she remembered how uncomfortable it was, like I probably remember better than she does, like the labor that she went through with Jack, our son, our older kid, it was crazy. It's the most like brutal thing I've ever watched in person. And then we decided to have another kid and I can't believe that she wanted to do it, you know, and she did. She went through it again and you forget about those things because what do we get from that? We get these people in our life, you know, these little kids that are so special to us and our business is no different. Our business is so similar. It's basically like a kid, you know, it's challenging and it's frustrating and it's so important and rewarding at the same time. So as you're going through this, Not to ramble about this, but I think it's a common pain point for so many people in the profession, in any profession that are starting a business in the first 3 years. Really, the first 3 years of starting a business is the hardest part. The hardest part, you're gaining momentum. People are finding out who you are. You're building your culture, your business, finding out what offers work, what offers don't work, and it's where most people end up giving up if they're not going to see it through it and make it. So, you know, if you're listening to this right now and you are going through something similar, understand you're not alone. This is why, for instance, like our mastermind group is so helpful. It's so beneficial because somebody like this can reach out to me. I can talk to them, connect them with somebody that just recently went through something very similar. They can have a conversation, talk about things that are working. But more than anything, like this person's going to be fine. They're going to be totally fine. Their business is going to fail. They're going to be successful. They're just going through a rough patch right now. But there's a lot of people who go through a rough patch and give up. And the ability to be connected with other entrepreneurs that are going through something similar, have gone through something similar, and can share resources about what are working and really just be able to help create a very beneficial place from a mindset standpoint where your confidence, you can gain it back. And confidence plus good clinical skills is dangerous. That's where we get huge changes in our business. Dangerous in a really good, dangerous in a Baker Mayfield way, like really good way, right? So, you know, being able to connect that person, not just myself, but somebody that's recently gone through it as well, like that's so valuable because it's going to help them get through this period much faster without necessarily sitting there by themselves wondering if, you know, they made the wrong decision or wondering if they're the only person going through this. So if you're going through this, you know, understand you're not the only person. Like, there's a lot of people going through it right now and there's a lot of people that have gone through it. You're not alone. It's not abnormal just for you. It's just the reason why so many people don't go into business for themselves is because of periods of the business like this, where it's scary, where there's unknown, and where there's a lot of self-doubt. And man, like that is a recipe for some really shitty things to happen to you. It's just to be in a really bad place. And I think the more you can hear that it's normal, the hopefully the better you will feel. And the more you will feel like it's just part of the journey. You know, it's part of your odyssey. You decided to do this. You know, I decided to do this not knowing what the hell I was getting into. And, you know, I know there's rough patches. There's going to be more for us going forward. That's just the way it is. You just sort of get more accustomed to it. But, you know, if you look at what you're really trying to do and you align your intentions with, and it's aligned with your business and the reason why you decided to start it in the first place, you have to see it through. For the people that you want to work with, for yourself, for your family, for the future of what you want your life to look like, you have to do it. So you don't have any other choice. So you have to get comfortable with the discomfort and understand that it's just part of the job, part of being an entrepreneur. And it's okay because there's a lot of positives associated with that as well that come along with it. So this is something that you'll get through, you'll get past, and it's just going to take some time. It's going to take some effort, and it's going to take you getting turned down probably by people and people not showing up to stuff that you're doing and persistence. And if you have that, you'll be successful. Your business will be successful, and you'll look back and you'll really think to yourself like, man, I learned a lesson from that. And now you'll be more resilient, for that, you know, going forward. And that's what's so cool about entrepreneurship is just this, it's this journey in personal development. Every single year you should look back and be like, man, I feel like I've grown so much as a person. You know, I feel like I barely recognize the person that I was or the decisions that I was making or the way I viewed things. And that's what's so cool about this. It's accelerated personal development, in my opinion. That's the way I look at it. And I think that if you look at it that way, it makes these crappy things we go through so much easier to tolerate. So that's it. That's my answer to what do you do when your business is flatlined in a cash practice and you're trying to get local marketing to work and then it's just not, you know, it's just not working at that time. This is my advice for that. I already talked to this person on the phone, but I figured I'd do a podcast on it because there's probably a lot of you that are going through this as well. And if you have questions, as always, you know, you can always reach out in the Facebook group that we have. You know, you can always leave feedback in the form of an iTunes review as well. We check those. We try to respond to everything that we get. If we miss something, sorry. You know, we try to catch everything as it comes through. And if you're looking to do something like this, and you want some lessons learned from somebody like myself that's gone through it, I highly recommend you check out finsurancebook.com and go get a copy of A Fuck Insurance, because I go through the phases of this and where people are at, and it should really give you some guidance, some clarity on where you're at within your business, where you're trying to go. And as always, guys, I appreciate your time. I hope you get some value from this and enjoy the rest of your day. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.